Our study this evening is taking us to the Sermon on the Mount again. So that means we are going to be reading from Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read from the opening verse of Matthew chapter 5, and then we're going to jump to Matthew chapter 18. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." We've reached verse 7 in our study. Jeremy's going to be leading us through that this evening. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Linking in with that truth is words you will find in Matthew chapter 18 at verse 21. Matthew chapter 18 at verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart."
Well, it is good to be with you. Tonight we think about the beatitude, the word of Jesus to his disciples, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy." Whenever I preach about forgiveness, I'm reminded of a story I read in a newspaper, a report in a newspaper in 2004. So it stood out to me. It was in Ossetia, part of the Russian Federation. You'll remember, some of you will remember, some of you weren't born, 2004. Some Chechen rebels came in and they went into school and they killed 186 children and many adults. It was shocking. Well, I read in a newspaper report a few months later, the mother of one of the children saying, what do you think she said? "We should take their children, line them up and shoot them. Then they will know what they've done to us." It's not very nice is it? But it is, in fact, the norm. It's the non-story, because it's what you want to do when somebody steals your parking place. You want to steal the parking place back, or whatever it is, we sometimes want to get revenge. And the story of difference, the story of change, is stories of forgiveness. When people come out of courts where somebody has been found guilty and they say something different, like, we hold no bitterness, we're very sad, but we forgive whoever for whatever they did to our family. That's what happens. But when we look at the Beatitudes, and I'm sure you've been here already in the past few weeks, one of the things that you realize is that none of them are the norm. It's not normal to be poor in spirit. It's not really normal to mourn over sin. Meekness is really treated like weakness. And hungering and thirsting for righteousness, well, that's not what we do all on our own. Being merciful, then, it's just the same. I heard a preacher, or read a preacher, I can't remember where I found it, but this preacher was talking about the Beatitudes being a ladder. Not a way to become a Christian, but a way that you live if you're a Christian. So where do you start on a ladder? You start on the first step. You recognize that you're poor in spirit. You see that there's something missing and that you've gone, you've got nothing. And then when you realize why that is, you have climbed a step and you see that there's something wrong with you, so you become somebody who mourns because of your sin. And then when you realize what you're like, you do become meek. You're not proud anymore. You are different. And so you want something much better for yourself. So you hunger and thirst after this righteousness. And then after you hunger and thirst after this righteousness, if I want to be a righteous person, if I'm holding bitterness in my heart, then that doesn't fit. It doesn't sit well. If I'm holding unforgiveness, if I'm being angry with somebody all the time for something they've done and not lifting up that burden from them and being merciful, then there's something wrong. So the Beatitudes become a ladder. Now, please don't get me wrong and think that it is a step, but what each one kind of shows us is something different. Perhaps you could say when you get to the last one that when you're persecuted, that can happen to a Christian the day they become a Christian. It's not incremental like that. I know that, but it can be helpful to think of it as that ladder. So what we start to do is we start to, first of all, if you look too at the Beatitudes, one of the things, a little bit like different things in the Bible, like so the Lord's Prayer, first part of it looks at how we are before God, and then we get to our neighbors. And I think, in a way, the Beatitudes are like that too. That we see how we are before God, and then we start looking out and seeing how we are towards others and thinking about being merciful. So we change. One other thing to say about Beatitudes that's important is that somebody could come along and read this, and they could say, "Oh, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Well, that's me. I'm a forgiving person. I'm one of the most forgiving people you know. I don't believe the rest of the gospel, though. I've never done anything about my sin. I've never said sorry to God, but I am merciful. So this says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So that means that God will accept me as a Christian. Well, you know that's not true. You know that we do not come to God and present something good about ourselves. What we actually discover as we look at the Beatitudes is they are things that make us happy. We're made happy by God, blessed or made happy by God, when He has given us something that we can use in our life and service for Him. So we start to look out. But then this beatitude, it's a little bit different too. Well, if you're poor in spirit, you don't get more poor in spiritness or when you mourn, you'll be comforted. They're sort of opposites there. But blessed are the merciful. Well, that's still an opposite, but blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And I think that I would not want to forgive anybody their sins, and none of us really naturally want to forgive anyone their sins against us unless something's happened to us. And so already I have received what the beatitude, what the blessing gives me when I show it. Blessed are the merciful, for they'll be shown mercy. I've already been shown mercy. I've already been shown mercy. I was shown mercy before the beginning of the world. I was shown mercy in God sending His Son. For me, I was shown mercy as God forgave my sins when I came and asked for forgiveness. I've already been shown mercy. And what this tells me is that I'm going to receive more mercy as I go on. I've never had this experience, but imagine I was a footballer and I scored a goal. Sometimes I did score goals in primary school, but they were own goals, so they weren't that good. But I score a goal, and the crowd cheer. So I receive some praise, and then I go on, and the team win. And we receive more praise. And then we go on, and we win the cup, and we receive yet more praise. Now these are things we receive for good that we've done, but what we're discovering here that as we're enabled to do good and be merciful by God, then He gives us more and more. So what is being merciful like? I'm going to take us to two parables. The first one we read in Matthew chapter 18, the parable of the unmerciful servant. And so we have this story of this man who goes and he pleads, please release me off my massive debt. Think of somebody who owes millions. Now, that would be horrible. That would be crushing. That's the sort of debt that ruins people, that they can't function, that they can't be in society anymore. There's no way they can see themselves getting out of this. And then he sees somebody who owes him a fiver. And after being forgiven for him owing millions, well, he needed a steak bake from Greg's or something, and he needed some way to get it. And so he had to put pressure on this person. Give me what you owe me. I'm not letting you off with this. And the master hears about it, and we are told these rather stinging words that this is how it will be for people who do not forgive others their sins. As he's thrown into prison, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. Well, why would I want to show mercy to anybody? Why would you want to show mercy to anybody? Because you have received the forgiveness of all of your sins if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus. As Alistair preached this morning, if you confess your sins, He will forgive you your sins and cleanse you from a tiny little bit of your unrighteousness. No, He will cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. And the moment He forgave your sins and forgives you as you go on, He forgives and He forgives. And there's no little bit that He missed out. There's nothing that He's holding against you. There's nothing that's going to trip you up as you get to the end, because He's forgiven you for all of your sins. And so when you have somebody who sins against you, who has sinned against you, and friends, we don't know each other very well. Somebody's sitting here and you say, you've got no idea what they did to me. Victim. You are victims. You're victims of evil people. You're victims of people whose hearts were like yours or are like yours until you were forgiven. People who did terrible things. And we don't want to enable them to keep on doing them, no. Today, as I arrived at your manse for lunch, shortly after that, I was sent out to the car. It was a trap. Benjamin was there with a super soaker. And I'm now decent enough to stand and preach to you. But he got me. I didn't make it easy for him to do that to me again. Even though I forgive him, I will try and not let him do that again. And we protect ourselves, but we don't hold this bitterness in our heart against all of these people. We try and forget then. We try and forgive. In the past few months, I've gone into an office to work, and some of these people who I worked with them 16 years ago, and they say to me, "I remember you said this." And I go, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the stupid things I've said." And the problem is, I can't remember all the stupid things I've said, can I? And I can't remember all the sins that I've committed. I can't remember. I can remember how cruel Alistair MacLeod has been to me at times when he's taken my phone and messaged people that I didn't know he was messaging and things like that. I can remember little silly things. I can remember things I should forget, but me, it's as if I owe God nothing. And everybody owes me something. You can see how wrong it is, can't you? You can see how wrong it is. So I must forgive. Well, I must forgive what? I must forgive all. That's the extremity of it. And I must make sure that this is what I'm desperate to do. How many times? 7? No. 70 times 7. More, says Jesus. And what about forgiving non-Christians? Because sometimes we have a little, should we really forgive people who aren't that sorry? Should you forgive people who aren't that sorry? What do you think? Some of you have done things today that you aren't that sorry for. Has God forgiven you? Will God forgive you? Only if you become a person who really deeply mourns about every single sin and you know you haven't done that yet, God forgives you. Non-Christians, should you forgive them? I think so. Well, if it's not in your power to forgive, you can be like Jesus, who when they had crucified him, when they'd put him on a cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." He was willing to forgive, ready to forgive. And the Apostle Stephen, as they were stoning him, what did he say? "Lord, don't hold this sin against them." He wasn't going to. He asked God not to. And so you see that we should be people ready to forgive. Archbishop Cranmer, a figure in the Reformation in the Church of England, it was said of him, "Do Cranmer an injury, and he will be a friend for life. Hurt him, and he'll be your friend. Sin against him, and he'll be your friend." And that's not what you want to do to God, to sin against him. Because he's the one who has power to punish us and will if we don't say sorry. But what is our story as people who have sinned against God? We have sinned against him. And he has become our friend for life, our friend for eternity, our friend forever by forgiving us our sins. He doesn't hold it against us. He wants to improve us and to bless us. And even though we sin and sin, he keeps on forgiving. So let's not be like the unmerciful servant. Maybe there's something you need to do. You don't have to stand up in public and say, I forgive for what they've done. But in your heart, before God, you said it this morning if you were here with the children, "Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven others." And if you're struggling to forgive, ask God to help you to do it. Let it go because he has let go all of your sins. the Samaritan. The parable of the Good Samaritan is the second story I want to remind us of. I'll read it quickly. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What's written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Easy. "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, and he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man in his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. It's the same word. It's not got this same idea of forgiveness that the Beatitude definitely has, but mercy is more than forgiveness. Mercy is more than forgiveness. Do you get that? We're going to finish by singing, "His mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, but His mercy is more." So God doesn't just forgive us. God doesn't just take away the burden of our guilt and the sin that we have committed against Him, but He heaps on us grace that is sufficient for our weakness. And He heaps on us the blessings of the fruits of the Spirit. And He gives us a promise of not just that your guilt will be taken away, but you will be receiving more mercy. You'll be comforted as you mourn. You'll get everything from God. And so God's mercy is more than forgiveness. And so there are these questions of kindness, these questions of giving somebody more than you might think they deserve. And we struggle because we really want everything to be nice and neat and tidy. But you're the sort of people that have had the ethical question, should you give a beggar money? Should you give a beggar money? If they're sitting outside Costa, should you give a beggar money? Have you had that question, or is it just me that's had that sort of question? No, you've had that question because you've made the decision, along with society, that tells us sometimes when we do that, we're just enabling something that's not right, a bad habit. Psalm 41, "Blessed is he that wisely doth the poor man's case consider." Think wisely about the poor. But don't think selfishly about the poor. Think of what you can do to help, to heap kindness, but they don't deserve it. Neither did you. Do you not get it? Neither did you. And think of different ways. You know, as beginning to work with Blythewood, I could show you pictures of poor little children, and you go, "Oh, lovely." But what about when we help out in a prison where people are there because they've done things that they shouldn't have done? Mercy is more than just forgiveness. It is giving something. But what about me? If I give, then it hurts me too much. Well, don't put your trust in riches or in wealth. Easy sometimes to say when we know that we're all near the end of the month and glad the first is coming, or whatever way it's happening, we need that. But we remember stories like the widow of Zarephath. She thought she was going to have nothing. And she kept giving. And the flour did not run empty, and the oil did not run dry. It just kept on coming. Enough was given. What if I make myself poor? And you remember the story of the widow that walked past the offering box and she put in just these two coins. And Jesus said that she'd given much more. He didn't say it like this, but if I paraphrase, she's given more than the guy that didn't notice his direct debit or standing order go out. She'd given from her poverty and everything she would give to Jesus. So we can be selfish. The Good Samaritan wasn't selfish. As I said, I don't know you. Maybe you are the most unselfish congregation in the north of Scotland and Scotland itself, but maybe you're not. Maybe you're a selfish person who hasn't trusted that God has given you enough, who's holding grudges against people because, well, they don't deserve help. And you are like these priests and Levites who walk by because it will inconvenience you. I'm like that sometimes. But blessed are the merciful, because in this great picture God has given us of what he does with our life, that he will somehow reward that. And so, what am I to do? Go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. I know I can't love God with everything. I haven't loved God with everything, but I'm challenged to show that mercy. Well, this is the sort of thing that we were created for. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I wonder how little you make that. What has God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them? Maybe the beggar you see tomorrow morning is someone that God has prepared an opportunity for you to bless that person. Maybe you won't see the direct result, but the next person that comes along from Smithton and blesses them might. I have no idea what God has prepared specifically in these little things. The writer to the Hebrews says, "Do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to the Lord." God likes it when you do this. Deuteronomy 15:7, "If there is a poor man among your brothers in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards your poor brother." Don't be like that. Don't be like that. We could go on, we could get into these Bible verses a bit more, but God doesn't want us not to be merciful. He wants us to be merciful. Well, why again? Just in case there's somebody here who doesn't get it, why do you want to be merciful? Because God has given you everything in his mercy if you have come to him in Christ Jesus. And if you've not yet come to God through Christ Jesus, can I invite you to put your trust in the God who delights to show you this mercy and whose mercy gives you not just the burden of your guilt lifted up, but the promise of himself forever and to be with you, to give you what you need all of these times. If you've been made happy by God, if you've been blessed by God, it's because he's been at work in your life. But as he has been at work in your life, now you go on in the blessing and see more of what he would have for you. And if there's an opportunity to show mercy, to forgive, to give up that bitterness, and to be generous with the things he's given you, then may you have a great adventure of giving it up for God and recognizing that he will give it back. Maybe in your conscious experience every day as you go on, but his promise is that he will be showing you more mercy. There will be more clapping, more praise, more mercy when you win the prize, when you win the cup. It's an amazing thought that there's more than we have known. Well, let's pray. Father God, forgive us because we're so scared of giving away too much. We're so scared of making ourselves vulnerable and forgiving other people of sin that they have done against us. Lord, we maybe didn't ever feel it at the time, but we pray that we'd be able to pray like Jesus, Father, forgive them. Maybe they knew what they were doing to us, but they didn't quite know everything that they were doing. They got it wrong, and we've got it wrong, so Father, forgive us. And we pray, Lord, that whatever opportunities you give us to show mercy, help us to be willing to take them. There is a cost to it. Lord, we see that in the Good Samaritan, but we thank you that in the Beatitude, we also see that there is a reward for it, and that's what you give us. So help us to believe the scripture that we've read tonight. Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.